Get ready to rock radio, music you want to hear.
Hello and welcome to Get Ready to Rock Radio. We caught up recently with the frontman of the band The Treatment, whose UK tour started in Norwich on the 27th of April. They have a dozen or so more dates, taking them to mid-May. And in this sequence, you'll hear some tracks from the brand new album, Generation Me, and some more detail about the development of the band, who we've been following for several years now. They formed back in 2008. This is their third album release for the Frontiers label this time round. And let's start off very appropriately with a track from The Treatment and Let It Begin. Here at Get Ready to Rock, we're saying hello to the frontman of a band whose fortunes we've been following, I have to say, for several years now, and promoting The Treatment. And it's hello to Mitchell Ems. Hello, Mitchell.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, it's great, and it's nice to talk to you. You're just hot-footing it, really, back off the first night of the UK tour, and you're probably feeling a little bit worse for wear, really, are you?
Yeah, I've been pretty knackered today, I've got to admit. It was a really good show, really good start to the tour yesterday. It's amazing to see so many people coming out on a weekday night as well to come see a lineup of rock bands. And the turnout was absolutely phenomenal. We had such an amazing time. sweaty and really energetic last night. As you know, like when you you first start a tour, you're all revving to go, basically. And yeah, we kind of went at it a bit hard last night. So we're all having a bit of a day to chill today before we head off to Birmingham tomorrow.
But, yes.
Yeah, it was a really, really good start to the tour.
You'll have to build up your energies now, as you say, for Birmingham and the rest of the tour. There's about a dozen dates ahead, taking you to, well, round about the, I think it's the middle of May, isn't it, the tour? Yeah, about the 13th of May, you've got a date in London. We'll give the dates at the end of this feature, Mitchell. And out on the road again, it must be great. You played Steelhouse. We reported on that last year. That was one of the big festival events that you played. And of course, it's almost, in fact, it's just over a year, I think, since you joined the band.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking now towards the end of April 2016. Now, you've had to learn the older material. So what proportion of your current set list features the new album Generation Me?
I think in many ways that the new album and the new lineup is really, it's pretty much like it's a fresh start for the band, I'd say. I think a lot of the members of the band would agree that they see the see Generation Me almost as the debut again. We're mainly playing the new album on this tour, but we've still got a lot of the old classic songs in there in the show. So we're playing stuff like, you know, The Doctor and songs like Running With The Dogs and all that kind of stuff. So still, plenty of stuff from the first album and the second album are on the end set list for the tour.
It's interesting, because do you find it surprising, Mitchell, that many bands release an album and then only play a handful of songs when they tour?
I don't find it surprising at all. I think the difference between there's a huge difference between the way an album playlist comes across to a listener than, you know, a set list comes across to somebody attending a show. You know, they're almost two different things. You know, with a live show, you really want to keep a certain amount of momentum and high and low, and I think with the album material, you just got to pick the songs that really stand out best. And I mean, we love all the songs on the record, but you really have to go with the songs that are going to work the best live and really rev people up. Whereas on an album, you've got time to sort of allow listeners to hear different sides of the band and hear different tracks. I mean, we'd love to play all the songs live, but the other thing as well is when you've got multiple albums as well, you've just got to pick the best from all the albums, so you're not ending up doing a 3-hour set every night. But I don't think it's a weird thing that, say, like an album track listing is different to a set list.
Yes, yeah, because you know, obviously, you'll be going to see other bands play live and take a view on that, really. Yeah. And I suppose actually it'll get more complicated for you as time goes on, because you'll build your album, you know, the number of albums, won't you? And it'll be more difficult, as it is for a lot of bands now.
Get ready to rock, radio.
And we're chatting to Mitchell Emms from The Treatment. Here's the title track of their current album, Generation Me. We'll be right back. mentioned it's almost a year, or it's actually over a year since you joined the band, replacing the original vocalist Matt Jones. Well, how did you get involved? We should say to listeners, if they're not already aware, that you featured in Series 2 of The Voice back in 2013. Now, I mean, I've chatted with Chris Daughtry, and very similar in a way that years ago, of course, he... I have to say he was eliminated, wasn't he, in American Idol? Mm-hmm. But he'll always carry that albatross around his neck, at least for probably a few more years. And yeah. How do you feel about that, Mitchell? Because obviously it was a big event in your life and caused a lot of reaction from people on national TV.
I mean, I don't. It's not something that I feel embarrassed about in any way. I mean, the whole thing with The Voice is that it just happened to me by surprise, basically. I didn't expect to get through on something like that, you know, being a rock guy. And all I wanted to do was just enjoy the experience. And every time, I just got through round and round and round. And I had an absolutely fantastic experience on The Voice. I don't think it's tarnished me in any way. You know, I mean, from doing The Voice, it means I was discovered by The Treatment, for example, you know. And I've done a load of really cool things off the back of The Voice since then. I don't see it as a negative thing, but I think my only issue is when people will focus on that rather than the music that I make now or the band that I'm in now. You know, I think it's kind of like, because it was 3 years ago now, and I've changed a lot myself since then. As a singer, as a performer, in the way I look, I don't have the same hair anymore, you know. I think a lot of those things add to almost, it kind of, how do I explain it? Sorry, I'm struggling to explain it.
I mean, out of interest, Mitchell, 3 years on, are you still a great supporter of that programme, or do you think you've moved on as well?
I feel like my experience on the show was really, it was interesting to see kind of behind the scenes of what really goes on with a mainstream television show like that. As much as I enjoyed the experience, it's at the end of the day, it's television, you know. And I only really watched it when I was on. yeah. I don't really watch it now because I never watched those shows before I went on The Voice. You know, I mean, as much as I was in other bands and stuff,
yes,
throughout my life, you know, there's always the odd person who'd come up and say, "You're a great singer. Why don't you go on X Factor or something?" You know. And I'd be like, no, I would hate to go on a show like that. But the opportunity to do The Voice came up, and I thought, you know what, I'll give it a chance, you know, because it is a little bit different from the other talent shows. Well, the premise for it was different in the first series. And I'd actually seen Nathan James from, he's now Inglourious, on the show. And I thought, if he can do that, then surely I can come on and have a go as well, you know. So I don't really support shows like that in a sense, but you know, if people want to use that as a platform to get their name out, then I don't see that as a problem at all. I mean, if you look at the music industry the way it is now, you know, it's so tough for new artists and new bands to break through on any medium. So you know, I don't support the show, but you know, I'll support anybody who uses it as a platform.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm sure it gave you a lot of confidence, more confidence, and in terms of your singing, it brought that on as well, because you've got to be about.
I mean, I've never really rated myself as a singer in a sense. I've always been a guitarist really, but I've just sang at the same time. And I think after coming off a show like The Voice, it did give me a little bit more confidence to say, actually, if you know, the likes of Tom Jones and Jesse J or whatever, you know, think I'm a good singer, then surely that must be a good thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. You've got to take that.
That means I'm all right at doing this whole singing thing. So.
That's it. Well, let's hear that voice in action. Let's have a track from the current album, Generation Me. This is The Treatment and The Devil.
Thank you. devil took me to heaven, start a fire down below. The devil took me to heaven, and you know that you want when she's getting out the back of your devil took me.
We should say to listeners also they can go checking out YouTube where they'll find you performing on The Voice. But we should also mention, Mitchell, that you know, you've done an awful lot of stuff from a very young age.
Yeah.
I believe you were involved in a Kurt Cobain tribute. Yeah.
Yeah, I was. It was pretty much my first experience doing anything in music. I was mine, and I just picked up a guitar, and my dad had bought me a little 8-track recorder and stuff, so I was just playing guitar and kind of shouting and writing songs and stuff. And at the time, you know, I really was into Nirvana, and the opportunity to do a Stars and Arrows Kids come up, and thought, you know what, why not, you know? So we did that whole thing, and that was a fun experience, you know. But I remember my dad saying to me shortly after I'd come off the show, and he was saying, look, you know, if you want to do music, you know, you've got to be 100%, or you've not got to, just don't do it at all, you know. So I think that from doing that show was really the turning point for me, actually starting off the next 12 years of my life doing music. So
And we should mention again that The Stars in Their Eyes, that was another TV show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you were there at an early age, and, you know, most people would say you're a bit of a child prodigy, really.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've been playing for such a long time now that I just don't really think about it, really. But yeah, I mean, from a very early age, I was playing. I mean, especially after Stars in Their Eyes, I was started doing gigs and stuff around the UK, and I managed to rack up about 500 shows before I was 15.
Mm.
And around the time I was 15, I joined my first band, and then was in a couple other bands, and then The Voice came around. But I said to myself, I didn't want to go on another talent show thing. I mean, I was a little bit embarrassed about it when I was a kid, but as I grow older, I look and go, oh, that was quite cool for a 10-year-old to do that. So, yeah.
Well, you'll have plenty for your grandchildren to look back on, Mitchell, you know. Now, now, talking of bands and the music business in general, we should mention you played Bloodstock.
I did, that was
quite a contrast to The Voice, certainly. That was in 2013.
I know. It was a surprise to me as well. I mean, I'd been in some bands before The Voice where we'd entered into the local metal to the masses competitions. So obviously I'd done that about 3 times, I think. And and so I met the people who put on Bloodstock Festival and Simon Hall and all that. And so after I did The Voice, because I'd been to Bloodstock Festival the year before, Simon got in touch with me and just said, hey, do you fancy doing the Jaeger stage? Not sure what the intention was behind it, but I thought, you know what, why not? I'll headline the Jaeger stage on a Friday. So there's a band I'd played with a few times before who are now called, oh, what are they called now? 1,000 Enemies.
Oh.
And I'd played with them when they were at Isolasis, and I just got in touch with them and says, look, I don't want to just go at Bloodstock Festival and play an acoustic guitar by myself. And the band I was in at the time was like almost like an alternative rock band. It wouldn't have really suited it. So I said, you know, why don't we, do you guys want to play? And we'll just learn a bunch of covers and we'll just have a complete laugh with it. Let's just have a good time, you know. And we did, and we went down really well. We had such a good time playing Bloodstock. That was really cool. And it's funny because there were a lot of people who were like, this guy was on The Voice, and why the hell is he playing a metal festival? Screw this guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but no, we had a really great turnout, and I'd made a lot of friends on the campsite from the year before and stuff, you know. So it also, and it was really cool because the metal community basically supported me whilst I was on The Voice, you know. And I don't really do metal, but I think it was really cool that a lot of my friends who were into metal and their friends really supported the whole thing. So it went down absolutely amazing.
It's interesting what you say about Bloodstock, because I think they are a generous crowd there,
yeah,
you know,
brilliant.
And quite eclectic. And I remember maybe around that time, maybe a year or so before, I remember seeing Europe, and they got a lot of criticism, Mitchell, yeah, because they weren't actually a metal band, but they really won over the crowd. So I can fully understand what you're saying there. And that brings me to a band that we did follow and support here, and still do, as far as I know, Get Ready to Rock, and that's Toxic Federation. Of course, researching this, Mitchell, I realised, yes, I know where the name comes from now. I remember you fronting that band.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, what exactly happened? You know, why did you leave?
I don't think I've been asked that question in about 5 years. I think a lot of it was to do with I was a lot younger then. I was 18 around about the time I left that band, and I just felt that I wanted to do something different. I was I just wasn't happy being in the band, and I felt that they needed someone who had the same interests as they did in moving forward with them. I just really wanted to go and do something else, really. We spent an awful lot of time together, and as you do, especially when you're that young as well, you know, a lot of friction can occur between, you know, a bunch of, you know, teenagers and early 20-year-olds all stuck together in a band for a long time, you know, and if it's not properly managed, you know, it just, all of it gets out of control, you know. So, I mean, that's really just what happened, you know. But I had some amazing times in Toxic, to be fair. I mean, it set me up in a lot of ways for the performer I would eventually become today, and a lot of great experiences with them.
Okay, well, let's go back to 2014 and the previous Treatment album. This is the title track, Running with the Dogs.
Roll.
you're of an age, Mitchell, you're coming through a really quite difficult time for young artists. And you must be slightly relieved, are you, that you're now in a higher profile band, The Treatment. I mean, we should say they were formed back in 2008 by, I think it was the drummer, and the band's manager is actually someone we remember from the band Air Race.
Yeah.
That's Laurie Mansworth. So there's a fair bit of heritage going on here,
there
isn't
is, there? Yeah. Mm. I mean, in this day and age of, you know, bands, I think a lot of it is down to whether you can get the right combination of individuals. I mean, it's not even as, you know, down to, you know, how good the music is sometimes with a lot of bands. I mean, obviously with The Treatment, a lot of it is down to how good the music is. But I think it's all about finding the right combination of people that you can gel with as a band, because there's so much more to being in a band than just making music. You know, there's a lot. You have to spend a lot of time with people. You have to learn how to work with people. And, you know, a lot of that can be difficult for musicians, because musicians are average on average quite strange individuals, you know, and a lot of friction can occur. But I think with The Treatment, it's the first time I've ever really been in a band where everybody in the band is, everyone's just a great guy in the band, you know, and we all just get along really well, and we work really well together, you know, and that's something that you really don't find very often in music. That's why you see so many bands splitting up all the time, because they simply just can't keep it together amongst themselves, you know. And I think this is the first situation I've been in where everybody is just a solid, you know, individual. And everybody's a great musician, and there's no egos in the band. You know, everybody just works hard, and we all have a laugh and have a great time, you know. So it's managed properly. You know, we've got an absolutely fantastic manager with Laurie. You know, he's done an amazing work for this band, you know. So it's that combination, I think, is more important than, say, you know, whether a band is established or successful or not, you know.
Yeah. No, I know, you're in good hands. Let's have another track from the Generation Me album. This is The Treatment and Backseat Heartbeat. Now, again, just labouring the point about the music industry, did the band ever consider some sort of Kickstarter campaign for the current album? Or did you always think, you know, the bigger label deal, you know, in terms of marketing and distribution was a better idea, really?
I think it's down to, I think really with when it comes to releasing music, I think we, the band, have always, you know, tried to look to see who, to be part of a really great record label, because, I mean, doing it yourself is so difficult, especially in this day and age, you know. And, you know, if the band's good enough, then surely somebody will be able to, you know, get behind us in a major way. And luckily, you know, we found that with Frontiers, you know, an absolutely amazing record label who've done such a good job so far for the new record. I think it's more important to have a good record label, have a really good team behind you, than trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. I think record labels are still relevant, aren't they, these days? You know,
yeah, they are.
Yeah, you know, obviously some are perhaps more efficient than others, but of course with Frontiers, traditionally they major on melodic rock, melodic hard rock, I have to say.
Yeah.
And with the new album Generation Me, I mean, moving on from the previous album, which came out a couple of years ago, Running With The Dogs, I think there is more melody in this. And it does suit the label, really. So that's hopefully you agree that that's a sort of a good sign, isn't it, really? And maybe a further direction the band. I mean, it's still heavy, isn't it? But it is,
yeah.
It's extremely listenable and very melodic as well.
I think a lot of it is down to, around the time when Matt Jones was leaving the treatment, they'd just started work on what is now Generation Me. Playing a few of the songs live, and I think the band really wanted to try some different styles of songs and show a different dynamic to the band. But I think as great as Matt is as a singer, he's an absolutely fantastic singer. I think because of his voice, it's quite a gravelly, you know, balls to the wall kind of voice. You know, it'd be very hard for him to pull off songs like Backseat Heartbeat, for example, whereas with me joining the band, I think the whole band just had a bit more of an opportunity to sort of try new things out, because I've done different types of music in the past, you know, and as much as I can do the sort of rock style vocal, you know, there's a lot of different elements to my voice. I've always tried to be a really well-rounded singer and musician, so I think that helped the album become a lot more melodic as well. But I think it does suit Frontiers and a lot of the other bands that they do have on the label. But I think it's also a new step for the label, because it's, you know, it's good for them to have a newer, younger band on the label.
Exactly, that's right.
You know, and have something that's a little bit heavier as well.
Yeah, and out of interest, Mitchell, are there any common bands that all the guys in the band listen to and, you know, perhaps are influencing them as you go along? You know, who are your idols?
I mean, for me, I listen to so many different types of music. It's really hard to sort of pinpoint down a single artist or a single type of music. I think the same can be said for the boys, but I mean, there's a common passion that we all want to play really great rock music, you know, and if we can do that and it sound as good as, you know, the, you know, a lot of legendary bands, then I think we're heading in the right direction. I mean, but for me personally, I mean, I was brought up on a lot of the sort of grunge, post-grunge stuff when I was a kid, and then I discovered a lot of the 80s, 70s rock stuff in my teens, and a lot of modern stuff since then, you know, so I try and bring in something that is a little bit alternative but still fits in with the sound of the band. I think for the guys, I mean, probably the biggest inspiration for them would be AC/DC, really. You know, but we're talking early AC/DC, not, you know, Brian Johnson AC/DC.
Yes, I know.
So you get what I mean. So.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we should mention also on this latest album you have another new member, and that's is it Teo Gray?
It's Teo. Teo Gray.
Teo Gray, and I presume he joins his brother, does he?
Yes.
Yeah, and is that Tagore or Tagore?
Tagore.
Tagore Gray and Tayo Gray. So there's
yeah,
all...
they have very strange names. You can blame their parents for that.
Well, it adds a bit more of an interest, really, I think. And we're going to play out with a rather interesting title, this. We Are Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. just to round things off here, Mitchell, and as you're a young, aspiring and upcoming and developing musician, really, that's more accurate, what sort of advice would you give to your contemporaries, really, who are trying to forge your way in the music business? I mean, my take on this is that gigs are so important still, grassroots following. But what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways social media has disconnected us. It's connected us and disconnected us in very different ways, grassroots followings are always more important than how many likes you can stack up on Facebook, for example. You really need to pay attention to what is, representative of reality when it comes to, who is coming to your shows and who is listening to your music. I think from my advice, really, is to, whatever you do, as long as it is, the truest version of what you want to achieve and you put in the effort, I think that could take you a long way. I think a lot of it is down to effort and keeping a band together, If you can put in the hours that other people won't and work with people and don't allow yourself to be swallowed by your own ego, then you've got a fighting chance. just enjoy yourself, work hard, and hopefully things will pay off. I think it's the only thing I can really say. I mean, I've just never stopped for the past 12 years in doing music, and I'm still learning new things. I'm still learning how to do what I'm doing better. But I just say, just be absolutely true to yourself and work hard. That's it. It's all you can do, really. Everything else is just, in the hands of the gods, as
yes.
somebody might say.
No, I know, being in the right place, right time, fate and fortune and all that. You've evidently made sacrifices, Mitchell, over the years, where perhaps you could have followed other career routes, and I'm sure this that's the same for many musicians. Do you see this, really? I mean, do you think it's important that music is a full-time activity if you're going to make a go of it? Because to many bands now, it's just an all-consuming hobby, isn't it?
It's very difficult to do it. I mean, a lot of people, might not have the support from their friends and family to do it, and there's external circumstances, people got to pay bills, people have got to exist in society, I mean, I'm very, very, very lucky in the situation I'm in with the treatment, because, we're all at an age where we can't afford to do this. We can still go out and do it and allocate all our time to doing this. We're very, very lucky, and we just want to make the most of the time that we have right now to really go out and make something of ourselves. But of course sacrifices have to be made in order to do this, it's tough, but you've got to put in the work and the hours, and I think if you don't truly apply yourself to it, then don't be surprised if things don't work out.
Yes. Yeah, application is all important, isn't it? Oh, thanks to you, Mitchell. We wish you all the very best for the forthcoming dates. So,
thanks.
As I say, we'll give those dates in detail at the end of this feature. And we're still enjoying the album Generation Me. It's a great hard rock album, and we have a review at Get Ready to Rock, and others should investigate the album and, of course, try and attend some of these tour dates.
Yeah, definitely.
I was looking, actually, at the... it's almost like back to the 70s, isn't it? I mean, relatively speaking, it's very reasonable £10 admission, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we've tried to keep it as cheap as we possibly could make it for the fans. I mean, for us, we've still got to pay fuel and get ourselves to the show and, So a lot of us have to, give up other money-making activities in the meantime in order to go out and spend, a good couple of weeks out on tour or whatever, So, for us to... All we really want to do is just break even. That's it. As long as we can get out there and play what we want to play and have a great time with our fans, that's what really matters.
Oh, that's right. Well, all the very best.
No, that'd be amazing to speak to you. Cheers.
And our thanks to Mitch Ems and The Treatment. The tour is currently underway in the UK with dates coming up. Birmingham at the Oobleck, that's on Friday the 29th of April. Cardiff Club Eiferbach, that's the 30th of April. Sunday the 1st of May, Sheffield Corporation 2nd, O2 Academy 2 in Oxford. And the treatment tour continues on Wednesday the 4th of May in Portsmouth at the Wedgwood Rooms. Leeds the Key Club on the 5th, 6th of May, Wolverhampton Slade Rooms. And on the 7th, the Sugar Mill, Stoke-on-Trent. Monday the 9th of May, the band play O2 Academy 2, Newcastle. Then north of the border on Tuesday, 10th of May, Glasgow Stereo. And on the 11th in Manchester at Satan's Hollow. And the tour concludes on the 12th of May in Nottingham at the Rescue Rooms. And finally, London O2 Academy Islington. That's the 13th of May. And you'll find more information in our news pages at getreadytorock.com, where we have the full itinerary. And do check out our review of the album Generation Me. Well worth investigating. And from me, David Randall, from all of us here, thank you for listening.